Skyport Media is proud to present.
Cappy 724, Roger. Set to maintain 2-0.
6-5.
I'm at 504.
On today's episode of Afterburn, Drake has his credit card stolen. Hammy defends French cinema. And I thwart a terrorist plot. Hello and welcome to Afterburn, the only radio show that is part 141 approved. I'm Atari, and I'm joined by my two esteemed co-hosts, Drake, who will today be played by Patrick Warburton, and Hammy, who is really into Lebanese reggaeton music. So today's show is going to be a little bit different because our producers were a little cross with us over last week's. And the fact that we have finals, so we're kind of off kilter a little bit. We're kind of out of sorts. Really, we just haven't prepared. So, that being said, we're pretty much just going to bullshit the whole episode, which is, well, I guess that's what we do anyway, right?
Yeah, but this time we don't have any real direction.
Well, did we ever have direction?
We had ideas.
I had direction once. It was terrible.
You used an ADF, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so what a week, huh?
Bin Laden.
Yep. So everybody's been talking up the storm about it. And because you know all the facts and everything about it, we're just going to kind of gloss over it. Real quick, though, here's to SEAL Team 6, the CIA, Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Navy, and just about everybody else who was involved in that operation. Cheers, mission accomplished.
Moving on.
All right, so now we're going to go ahead and discuss aviation movies, best and worst. And we'll open up with our best here. I'm going to have to say, just because it changed the way aviation movies were made, it changed the way people looked at it. Beforehand, movies had some flying in it, and that was it. This movie brought about movies about aviation. And I'm just going to have to say, Top Gun.
Oh, I was going to say, don't you dare say Top Gun.
Top Gun was one of my all-time favorite movies. I mean, I grew up with it. And despite the fact that Tom Cruise is absolutely insane, you gotta admit, it's a good movie.
I love Top Gun, don't get me wrong, I love it. But it's not, I mean, there's something about Top Gun. It's a great movie, and you love it when you're a little kid, and you love it when you're like 14. And, of course, all pilots are 14-year-olds anyway. So there's this thing there. But when you watch it, you go back and you're like, my God, that was terrible.
Well, it was 80s.
Of course it was
80s. It was stereotype 80s. It was an 80s movie, so I mean...
But wouldn't you say the same thing about, like, a movie like The Final Countdown?
See, yes!
The Final Countdown was actually one of the movies they referenced when making Top Gun. And they said that they didn't want... They thought there was too much flying in the script, and they need to tone it back. Be more like Final Countdown. And while Final Countdown had a great F-14 scene, and a bunch of T-6s made it to be Zeros, and a bunch of cool stuff...
And F-14's going, oh crap, I'm gonna stall.
Well, I met the pilot that did that.
The thing about The Final Countdown is that it was one of those movies where somebody wrote a script, and it wasn't a very good script, but they said, we're bored, so we're going to make this movie. And then somebody took this script to the U.S. Navy, and the U.S. Navy said, we're bored, we want to be in a movie. And then they made that movie, and
they went to Kirk Douglas, and Kirk Douglas said, yeah, what the hell.
Yeah. And because of that, it's completely epic. It's bad, but it's completely epic and awesome.
It's a cool story anyway.
Yeah, and you get to see A6s being tankers. It's kind of fun.
Okay, so Drake, what would you say is your best aviation movie?
My best aviation movie has probably got to be Only Angels Have Wings from the 30s.
Yes.
And it's a great little movie, and it's one of the earlier good aviation movies. And in fact, I'd probably almost say it's one of the first good aviation movies. Because it's about pilots, and it's actually decent and good. And it's, well...
Decent and good.
Decent and good. Why not?
All right, Atari.
Oh, God. Well, let's see. You want animated or real?
I was kind of just overall best aviation movie.
See, because I love Area 88. It's a Japanese terribleness. But I love it because it's campy and stupid and 80s, and same reasons I love Top Gun. But it's all chick pilots, which is fun. You know, it's chicks in very tight flight suits, and they're all like, and everyone's going to hate me because, you know, I just did something very cheap and stupid. basis, but whatever. Anyway, but that's what little girls sound like in anime. So,
live action.
Live action. Holy crap.
Twelve
O'Clock High was really good.
12 o'clock High was great. That was more of a movie on leadership than it was flying.
But it was about aviation stuff. I mean, you know, we want to talk about favorite flying movies. Well, Ten Cup is not one of them, but it's got to be the worst aviation movie ever. No. Let me do my worst aviation movie ever.
Well, I was going to.
And that is Die Hard 2.
Yes.
See, Die Hard 2 was so ridiculous and stupid. Now, it did have Fred Thompson in it, and Fred Thompson being Fred Thompson is always fun to watch. But the whole premise of Die Hard 2, you've got these jetliners circling around Dulles because terrorists have taken over the airport, and my God, they've cut off all our communications and they're not going to let us land. Oh, wait a minute. They just told us we have 60 seconds to continue talking to the planes. All right, this movie's over in 60 seconds because I say, hey, guess what? Everybody in the vicinity of Dulles Airport, divert your alternates now. Because the weather is so bad, they're going to have alternates anyway. Get them the hell out of the airspace. Done. Movie's over. Send SEAL Team 6 in and take them out.
Drake, worst aviation movie ever.
I think my absolute worst aviation movie is probably going to be Iron Eagle 16 or whatever it was. Iron Eagle.
I think you can pretty much sum up the entire
the
Iron Eagle franchise.
The worst aviation movies ever made.
I mean, don't tell... You gotta understand that that is every kid's fantasy. Oh, I'm gonna steal an F-16 and rescue my dad.
And get shot in the process.
Never mind the fact that I'm going up against experienced MiG pilots, which were kafirs, mind you, but experienced MiG pilots have been doing this for many years.
Yeah, the suspension of disbelief, like, falls apart somewhere in this movie when the kid who has no flying experience whatsoever.
Oh, he owns a 152.
Yeah, I was about to say, a Cessna 152.
He does stupid canyon flying with his friends.
Yeah.
So badass because it's the big race, the motorcycle's hauling ass, and you see the Cessnas in slow flight trying not to stall.
Yeah, he used a bullseye womp rats in his T-16 back home, I'm sure.
They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Okay. Oh, my favorite flying movie, aviation movie. Independence Day.
Ah,
the Black Knight, baby.
Oh,
what?
Oh,
yeah,
you're
speechless.
Say
you're speechless.
I'm actually thinking about that. I wouldn't necessarily call that an aviation movie. It's a sci-fi movie. And
he doesn't like anything. It's like, well, that's not an aviation movie, even though the plot centers around aviation.
This
well, that's not an aviation movie
aviation
because
movie.
That plot centers around pilots.
This is the man who will not be quiet about how much, what is it, Battle of Los
Angeles,
because it's the Marines versus the aliens. And here's a movie that's about Marines versus the aliens. And he's like, oh, I don't know if that's a good movie or not.
No, you're misinterpreting. I loved Independence Day. I just don't think that necessarily qualifies as an aviation movie.
It's about pilots doing
pilot things.
But it's sci-fi.
Top Gun versus aliens.
I'm saying aviation movies like Top Gun, Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor's not an aviation movie. It's about a love triangle. That's it. That's the entire that's like saying
Flyboys, Hell's Angels.
It's like saying Titanic was a Navy movie.
Well, what about Midway?
Mm.
Midway's good.
Midway has a lot of aircraft in it.
But it's not a flying movie. It's about the Battle of Midway.
But there's a lot of flying in it.
Okay, well, if you want to do that, we could change the subject from aviation movie to movies with a lot of flying in it.
Well, aviation E.
Aviation E movies. Okay. Well, if that's the
flying
case...
Flying Leathernecks. There you go.
I was gonna say, if we're going to that category, aviation E or aviation ish, fine. Then I'll agree with you. Independence Day is way up there, and I do love Independence Day. I just thought Battle Los Angeles was a better movie.
Let me remind you of a specific plot point in Independence Day, and that's where Bill Pullman gets up there and says, "You're about to take part in the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind," and then he has that epic speech about this is our Independence Day.
4th of July will no longer be known as American holiday. But it's the day the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Right, thanks, Pete.
Lovely.
Well, I couldn't resist.
It's one of those movies that is, well, one of the chief characters in that movie is a fighter pilot. And the other chief character in that movie
is an old fighter pilot.
Yes.
And then another chief character in that movie is another old fighter pilot. And then the other people are the wives and families of those fighter pilots. So it's an aviation movie.
It's a movie that has a lot to do with aviation, but aviation wasn't the point of the movie.
Yes, it was. It was 90 minutes of dogfights between F-18s and spaceships.
Again, spaceships is what takes it from an aviation movie to a sci-fi movie.
Well, then by that definition, what was that movie?
The Battle of Los Angeles is not a military movie.
No, that's not what I... The Final Countdown, by that estimation,
is not a sci-fi movie
because they go back and take over time.
I did not bring up Final Countdown as a flying movie. You did.
But you talked about it like it was a flying movie. You didn't argue with us about how it wasn't a flying movie. All I said was
that they referenced Final Countdown when they were making Top Gun.
So in other words, Top Gun is inspired by the Final Countdown.
No, Top Gun was made and people said, hey, this sounds a lot like it. They didn't say, oh, hey, I'm going to use the Final Countdown and I'm going to make a movie off that.
Well, Top Gun isn't really about aviation either. It's about a man that falls in love with a lesbian.
Yes, exactly. It's about a strange, arrogant little man who falls in love with a closet lesbian.
Hey, it's a movie about F-14 fighter pilots duking out with F-5s. I'm sorry, MiG-28s.
No, you mean F-5s. Yeah.
F-5s and F-5s, yeah. But anyway, all right, my worst aviation movie. That is a tough one. I was going to say The Flying Tigers just because it was terrible in its writing, but for the time and for what they had and being made during the war, it was great. It had John Wayne in it, so you can't really hate it. It'd have to be one of those low-budget ones like...
Sky Fighters.
Sky Fighters was fantastic.
Sky Fighters was ridiculously
terrible. Sky Fighters had a lame plot and terrible voiceovers.
And French actors.
And it was a French movie, which pretty much almost defaulted.
Look at that Mirage. Oh, it's an F-4 or whatever. It was an F-16, and it's like, no, it's a Mirage.
They never said it was an F-16. They just said they were racing the F-16s. You never saw them in the movie.
Yeah.
They were launching from two different
places. No, they said, oh, look, there's F-16s, and they show a couple of Mirages fly by. That's what it was.
No, they showed the F-16 first. Then a guy said, look, it's an F-16. They cut the next scene, which is Mirages.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie a hundred times.
That's bad cinematography when they say, oh, it's an F-16, and they cut to a picture of the formation loop
they had to get that hawk to go through, up to the clouds and back down, and the shot where the actor's actually in the airplane, and you see the Mirage over his shoulder, and the footage of the Mirage doing a barrel roll on the other one, and the Mirage chasing the hawk through the clouds by the lighthouse through the mountains.
And it all looks fake.
I can't agree with you on that because it was all real. I mean, they really put actors in these damn planes.
And it looks fake. The way they shot it, it looks fake. It's too over the top. Iron Eagle in its stupidity.
Take that back.
Are there any other good movies that involve F-4s? Because F-4s are just...
Great Santini.
Great Santini.
Yeah, that was a... Wasn't Robert Duvall... Or, was it Robert Duvall or Gene Hackman that was in that movie? But it was about a Marine F-4 pilot. And he was like a flight school for Marine pilots, kind of like Top Gun for the Marines. But this guy was a total douche. He ran his family like the military, and he was so ate up with the military that he made his family wake up at 5, and he played his son at a game of basketball, and his son beat him, and he refused. He added points to the score so he could continue to play. Gets his son drunk on his 18th birthday. He was given swirlies to the Lance Corporals in the bathrooms. But the movie was fantastic, though, and his attitude and his charisma towards flying, and had some great F-4 footage where the Marine F-4s kicked the shit out of the Navy F-4s.
Marine F-4, so what, Wild Weasels?
You know, I can't think of another movie that has F-4s in it, but I can think of a movie that has T-38s in it.
Call of Glory?
Armageddon.
Oh, yes, the NASA
T-38. That's an aviation movie.
That's an astronaut movie.
It's an astronautical...
That's an astronaut movie.
Yeah, well, astronauts are pilots.
Yes. Actually, astronauts are what pilots want to be.
Well, then Star Wars is the best aviation.
That's what I'm saying. That's where you gotta. A line has to be drawn somewhere between flying and sci-fi.
Well, it's about pilots and doing pilot things. It's just in a different pilot setting.
So would you say that Battlestar Galactica was a pilot show?
Absolutely. Well, especially the new one because it all takes place on an aircraft carrier.
I think what we should qualify this is terrestrial flying.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. And I mean, we got terrestrial flying
on the ground.
No, I mean, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Atmospheric. Actual atmospheric flying.
Terran flying.
Where it still involves aerodynamics.
Well, Battlestar Galactica involved aerodynamics. There's altimeters in the Vipers.
Well, I know. I'm going to have to go into the atmosphere. So you know what.
Dinotopia involved aerodynamics. Yeah, yeah.
God.
Okay, so I really have a hard time answering that question on what was the worst flying movie of all time. Because
you already know it's Sky Fighters.
I love Sky Fighters. Kiss my butt. But I'm going to have to say probably one of these just stupid low-budget movies where they reuse documentary footage. I mean, maybe I'll have to go with the Iron Eagle movie. Those were terrible. They were every kid's fantasy, but they were terrible. All right, moving on to the next thing I wanted to bring up. Casting against type. I wanted to discuss primarily actors that play heroes and then do villains, but pretty much any actor that acts outside what they normally do. And I was going to open that up with...
In other words, actors showing versatility in their roles.
Pretty much. And I was going to open that up with Bruce Willis playing the Jackal. I mean, he was such a great bad guy in that movie. One of the greatest villains I'd ever seen. And he's always the hero in his movies.
Well, he was technically a bad guy in Hudson Hawk. Because he was a thief. But he was like the protagonist.
But he was the protagonist,
yeah,
but he wasn't
like,
But he wasn't the guy who was trying to be stopped.
Well, there was that movie, The Whole Nine Yards.
Yeah, he was sort of the bad guy.
But again, he wasn't the antagonist of the plot. The people that were out to kill Bruce Willis in that movie.
Right. He was a sympathetic character, even though he was a bad guy.
Yeah, in The Jackal, he was just a cold sociopath that killed whoever needed to kill him.
Wait, it was the Jackal.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Another good example of that would be Tom Cruise in Collateral.
Now, Tom Cruise in Collateral, he was stone cold. That was cool. Well, you didn't see Collateral.
I think I did, I just don't remember.
Jamie Foxx plays the taxi driver, and Tom Cruise is the hitman.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Collateral is a great movie, though. You should check it out. It's one of Tom Cruise's best performances.
It's basically a video tour of downtown Los Angeles. Or not downtown, but like the greater Los Angeles.
You know what's a better tour of the greater Los Angeles area?
What?
Falling Down.
Falling Down! Yes! Love that movie. Love that movie.
And actually, there's a good example of sort of casting outside of type, because you have, what's his name?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas is, Michael Douglas usually plays either a good guy or a morally ambiguous guy, but he can play a pretty good bad guy from time to time. And I think he did a pretty good job in that movie of being a psychopath.
Yes. He was like, you kind of just see him just snap, and he just gets crazier and crazier and crazier as the movie goes along. And it's just a lot of fun to watch.
Best crazy I had ever seen. Anybody ever seen the movie Just Cause? Sean Connery?
No.
Ed Harris.
Well, Ed Harris always plays a crazy guy.
Well, I mean, this was like to the point of highly educated, very artistic, but hanging off his cell naked and sending Sean Connery to go see his family because they know they were killed and he wanted to know how the bodies smelled as they rotted. That was an Academy Award winning performance, what he did there. I don't even think he got nominated. But that there is one of my all-time favorite crazy characters.
Yeah.
Psychopathic.
Didn't John Goodman play, like, a crazy murderer once?
In Death Sentence, or Death Ticket, whichever one that Kevin Bacon movie is. But the New Yorker was a gun dealer and a drug dealer and all that crap. And he was actually pretty scary in that movie. He had these big, thick Coke bottle glasses, this 5 o'clock shadow. But he was out just selling guns and drugs and smacking his men around in a... Man, it was pretty freaky.
You know what my my favorite example of casting against type was? And it really just kind of it sets a point in this person's career. And that was Elizabeth Berkley in Striptease. And they're both giving me weird looks. Who's Elizabeth Berkley? She was Jessie Spano on Saved by the Bell. You know, the uptight, prim and proper, feminist.
The blonde girl?
Yes, the blonde.
That wasn't Striptease. That was Showgirls.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Demi Moore was in Striptease.
Yeah, I was like... I just watched the movie a few weeks ago on Netflix because I was curious what the big huff was about, and yeah, it was...
You're right, Showgirls. It's still about strippers, but whatever.
No, it's about Showgirls.
They're strippers.
Yes.
If you've ever been to Vegas, they're strippers. Even though they are strippers. Whatever. Anyway, so, yes, Showgirls. Elizabeth Berkley, strange, and then her career suddenly just took a nosedive. I wonder why.
Because she shot a porno, basically.
Well, it wasn't so much a porno, it was that she did some nude scenes, and
a lot of nude scenes.
No. Nice boobs, by the way. But the whole thing was she happened to be in the worst Paul Verhoeven movie ever made. And that's saying something.
What else did Paul Verhoeven do?
Starship Troopers.
That was the worst Paul Verhoeven movie ever made.
Showgirls is much, much worse than Paul Verhoeven. Because if you take Starship Troopers outside the context of the book, Starship Troopers is a brilliantly stupid movie.
Starship Troopers
doesn't
qualify.
It's brilliantly stupid, just like all of Paul Verhoeven's other movies, i.e. RoboCop.
RoboCop wasn't really brilliantly stupid. I thought RoboCop was a good movie.
Is brilliantly, mindlessly stupid, which is what makes it amazing.
I just thought RoboCop was a good story.
Well, speaking of women taking their clothes off in various careers and movies about it, one of my favorite little goofy movies to that genre is The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh gosh, yes.
I've never even heard of that movie.
With
that is hilarious. It's got Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. And one of the best things about that movie though is the governor of Texas.
Who wouldn't think the governor of Texas is hilarious?
Yeah, but I mean, particularly in that movie, the governor of Texas is hilarious. And I love the little song and dance he does about, like, you know, political stuff. It's just, it's so, it's true of any politician, really, but it's just great the way he does it. Just like, you know.
Well, I've never seen that movie, so I can't comment on that. But what would you think would be a good movie, cast against type kind of thing?
One interesting one I've seen, I can't remember the names of the movies, but usually Anthony Hopkins usually plays a very dark kind of, like, insane... Yes. And every now and then, Anthony Hopkins will play not necessarily a good guy, but just sort of a neutral guy. Like, things are happening to him. Like, there's one where he's getting old and death is falling around for a year.
Meet Joe Black.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah,
Meet Joe Black.
Brad Pitt.
And then there was another one where he was just like a businessman, and he goes to, I think, Alaska, and he's being hunted through Alaska by some guys that want to kill him.
I have that movie on my shelf in my house, and I can't think of the name of it. It had that Baldwin brother in it.
Yeah. And so he's not a bad guy or anything, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And those are the interesting ones, because it's just like, he's not being a bad guy, he's just being a guy, and it's really interesting to watch him do it.
He was the guy telling the story of Alexander in a movie, that horrific movie, Alexander.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, don't waste your time with it. Colin Farrell played Alexander. It was a terrible, terrible movie.
Oh, you want to know what a good example of casting against type is? Sam Neill in a good movie.
What, Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Hunt for October?
He wasn't Hunt for October. I forgot about that. He got killed. That's right.
I'd like to have seen Montana.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Thank you
for bringing that up.
Sam Neill's done a couple good movies.
He's done a handful. He's done a, you know, very
Daybreakers.
Small.
Daybreakers is really
No, Daybreakers was a stupid movie, but it was awesome.
I thought Daybreakers had a real interesting story. A vampire society. You don't see that very much.
I loved, like, watching Daybreakers. I enjoyed watching the movie because it was just so mindless and so stupid, and Willem Dafoe had a shotgun crossbow. That was the best part of the movie, was Willem Dafoe riding around in that tuned-up 57 Bel Air with a shotgun crossbow.
You've seen Army of Darkness, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So you get to watch Bruce Campbell fight Bruce Campbell.
Giddy-giddy-tang-shoes.
Best movie ever.
I was going to say, were you going somewhere with that statement?
No, well, I was just saying, you know, it's like he usually plays the hero because he's in a lot of B movies.
Yeah.
And he usually plays the hero, and that one he's playing the hero and the villain at the same time.
Yes.
Well, he's on that TV show Burn Notice now.
Yeah.
He plays the former SEAL FBI friend of the main character.
Yeah, he plays Sam.
Sam Axe, yeah. I really, really like his character in that movie.
Show.
Yeah, TV show.
USA. Well, they had the movie, The Fall of Sam Axe, which was terrible. But yeah,
the Fall of Sam and Max.
Sam
and Max.
Freelance detectives.
Indeed. Amy's confused.
No, I just forgot what I was going to say next.
What's the name of that man who is the radio announcer in Fallout New Vegas?
Oh, that would be you're talking about Mr. Vegas,
yes.
Mr. New Vegas. That is Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton usually plays a singer, but in this game, he plays a radio announcer.
He was in a James Bond movie.
Was he?
Yes, he was in License to Kill, and he played a cult leader. And it was awesome, and he runs
that
around.
That was going, Wayne Newton.
That was Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's like, bless your heart.
Oh, yeah, he kept taking
everybody.
The money.
Takes money, you know, he's working for Robert Davi, who is a, like, a big drug lord guy.
With a pet iguana.
With this, like, epic pet iguana with a diamond necklace and all that stuff. He's, like, supposed to be like the evolution of Blofeld with his cat and everything, but Wayne Newton is like, he's like the communications guy, and
communicates through the TV on broadcast,
yeah, through his like televangelist TV show. He broadcasts to all the different like buyers and suppliers and stuff like that what the going rates are for like cocaine. And every time he gets a donation, he's like, and our Rio de Janeiro chapel has just donated $50,000. Bless your hearts.
And then when he gets screwed over, he says that's
yeah, he gets screwed over. And like, what's her name? The chick in the movie, the Bond girl.
Grabs the money away from him.
Grabs the money away from him, drives away in the little golf cart, and he's running blind. Bless your heart.
Yeah, he's been on several episodes of Las Vegas and stuff, too, as himself.
Wayne Newton casting against type was Wayne Newton in that Halo commercial.
Halo?
Yes, he's in this Halo commercial.
I've seen a lot of them. I don't think I've seen
it. It's Snoop Dogg and some other rapper guy, and they're playing Halo with each other, and they're just like smack talking each other and everything. They're trying to distract each other. Like, one orders a pizza for the other guy. He's like, you better go get that pizza. You better go get it. He's like, no. He's like, I bet that pizza smells really good. You know, and then there's like this big party bus outside with all these naked women, and they're, you know, all oiled up in baby oil, and Snoop Dogg's like, man, that's just a Wednesday for me. You know? and just all of a sudden, like, this new player comes in and just totally owns both of them, just completely just annihilates the other two. And they're like, what happened? And you see Wayne Newton there, and he's got this gold-plated Xbox controller. That's how Wayne Newton plays Halo, bitches. And he drops the controller and walks away.
Wow. Well, that reminds me of those old SOCOM Navy SEAL commercials.
Dunk is shame.
You ever seen it?
Darling, dunk is shame.
I'll wait on you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You ever seen those old SOCOM US Navy SEAL video game commercials? And like, these guys are playing as terrorists, and it's like all these kids are, these probably high schoolers are together, and they're like, where's that attack coming from? We're getting slaughtered. Oh my god, where's this happening? And they're playing as the terrorist side. And they get their asses handed to them. And then it pans out in the middle of the desert, and you see these SEALs are playing the game, like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
And then the next one, you see the SEAL team's there, but one guy on the SEAL team's going crazy, like running in circles, shooting everybody.
It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Stop shooting. Where is he? And he's got his headset off, and he's looking out the window, and next door, these two women in bikinis are rubbing each other down with suntan lotion. He's just staring out there. And the commercial literally said, sometimes there are more interesting things than video games. But when there's not, SOCOM US Navy SEALs.
That reminds me, I gotta catch up on my EA Sports NHL.
Yeah, I see that over there all the time.
Yeah. I started the season with the Thrashers and the Ducks, and I got like two or three games in, and then like all hell broke loose here at school, and so I'm like doing that. I need to go and finish the season.
Yeah, I've been way too busy to play games myself. I've pretty much given up on Mag. I mean, I haven't played that in ages.
Does anybody still play Mag?
I think a few people do. So I haven't played Mag for a while. I need to get back into what's that ridiculous game I played? Battlefield Bad Company 2. Got to play some of that.
Champions.
Champions, I gotta do some champions.
I've been replaying that sewer mission over and over again, trying to level my character up.
Yeah. What's that ridiculous game?
Pimpin' Ain't Easy?
No. So anyway, yeah, there's just a lot of games that I haven't played online for quite a while. Although, right now, PlayStation Network is down because somebody hacked it.
Yes. And Sony apologized.
Precisely.
We're sorry. Somebody hacked us.
They also said that we all need to change our credit card numbers because somebody may have gotten our credit card information.
Well, I mean, with all the people that are online right now, if you have everybody's credit card information, you only need to take like 50 cents off everybody and you'd be making mad money. Not to say that he wouldn't, but whoever hacked you guys, I mean, it'd be smart of him if he was to steal all your credit card numbers to just take like 10, 50 cents out of your...
Gee, Hammy, you sound an awful lot like you know you're an authority on this subject.
No, I'm just using some common sense.
Uh-huh. Well, if you wonder who hacked the PlayStation Network...
You know how computer illiterate that I am. You had to help me with my damn droid. Okay? Seriously.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
So I've learned.
I need to teach you how to draw. I need to teach both of you how to draw.
Well, I know how to draw. I just don't know how to draw very realistically.
I use Microsoft PowerPoint for a reason.
I'm very stylized. Yeah, stylized. That's the word for it.
Yeah, it's like also modern art, which is also known as what? Crap?
Hey. Don't, no, sir. Don't you even start on modern art. Now, some of it is crap, i.e. Jackson Pollock.
Let me take a bucket of paint and splash it on a wall with some other colors and say, art!
That's not even a bucket of paint. He takes a brush and just like kind of slings it and makes these.
I had no idea marks. Who you were talking about. I'm just saying what I've seen done.
Yeah, that's Jackson Pollock. You're probably.
Who's the guy who shoves the stuff up his rectum and then?
It's some French guy.
Okay.
Which that kind of explains it, you know, because everything that comes out of France is crap, i.e. Sky Fighters.
I'm going to hurt you very badly.
Well, France is the country of France. It's
very, very French.
What has France actually given the world? We have the Eiffel Tower and...
Ratatouille,
and I can't really think of anything.
Someone to take the pressure off of other countries, because they go in there and they kick France's ass whenever they're feeling insignificant.
No, France just serves as a base of operations for the Germans.
France is where...
France is just is Germany's forward HQ.
Yeah. Well, France is where the German leaders go to tour the countryside and then to tour Paris and then leave.
What was it? General Patton once said, next time there's a world war, the loser gets France.
I mean, really, there's just... Oh, well, actually, France has given us a lot of wine techniques.
Yes, they have.
Which is useful.
And they lost to California.
Which they are annoyed about.
They are very annoyed that California and Australia are key.
Yeah, the French are really annoyed with us in particular because we took away the best wines.
Yeah.
And we also took away the sort of international language of business.
Yeah. We also took away aviation.
Yeah.
Because there's still that debate, you know, going on, well, who actually did it first? It might have been this French guy that flew instead of the Wright brothers and
well, what kind of airplanes come out of France? You have
Eurofighters and Airbuses.
Yeah, you have Eurofighters and Airbus. Eurofighters are, well, little civil fighters. Yeah. And you have the Airbus, which is flying death trap that runs on Windows XP or something. And it will deliberately try to kill you by making you fly.
We also took helicopters away from France because they kind of came up with the idea, and then Igor Sikorsky said, oh, this is how it actually works.
Here's a pro tip, children. If you want to get into aviation, either learn English or Russian.
Yeah. And on that note, I think it's about time we end this show. That's all the time we have for today on today's episode of Afterburn. I'm Atari.
I'm Greg.
I'm Hammy.
And today's episode was brought to you by Reggaeton.
Sky Ordnance Company. We make bullets.
And Obama's birth certificate. We found it!
We'd like to thank you for joining us on tonight's episode of Afterburn. Stay tuned for more hilarities.
On a special note, this will probably be my last episode for the summer. I have an internship set up halfway across the state. But my two esteemed co-hosts will keep you entertained while I'm gone.
So we'd like to thank you for joining us on tonight's episode of Afterburn. Stay tuned. We'll see you next time.
Not me.